Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? In the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Anybody would argue with me if I said that we are living in tough, trying, turbulent times. There's trouble and problems everywhere we go. It's trouble in the finances. Many of us have more months than we do money. Many of us who made investments in a 401k is now a 201F. We're dealing with hostile husbands and disobedient daughters and wayward wives. And sometimes it makes us want to pull out our hair and say, how are we going to make it out of this mess? All of us have asked that proverbial question. How am I going to make it? How am I going to get by? And the answer comes back to every single generation. Six little words. The just shall live by faith. Faith is what's going to take you out of every circumstance. Faith is getting ready to take you out of every... Oh, come on, somebody. I dare you to stand on your feet and just tell somebody next to you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen by faith. Oh, come on, let's praise the Lord. It's going to happen by faith.
I see,
but not the
fly. I feel.
I-
verse next to you and tell him, I'm getting ready to take my faith walk. I'm getting ready to take my faith walk. Now come on, just take your faith walk right where you are.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to the Light of Portland. I hope you're walking by faith on tonight. Amen. I hope you're walking by faith tonight. I am Pastor Kimberly Black. I am your host for the Light of Portland. It is an honor, a privilege, and my pleasure to worship with you on tonight and to come into your space to share the Word of God, to share the power of prayer, and to share in a time of praise and worship. Bring you greetings from the City of Roses, Portland, Oregon, where it is sunny and it's beautiful, and God is in the midst of his people. We just truly thank God for each of you joining us to worship with us on tonight. Hope and pray that you are being blessed and that you are experiencing the bountiful blessings of the Lord. We honor the presence of the Lord tonight, which is present with us. He's in our heart. He's in our mind. He's wherever we go, wherever we are, we take him with us. And so we honor his presence today, and we truly thank him for being in the midst of us. We want to take out this time to recognize all of those that make this platform possible. And week after week, there are several men and women that come to us and preach and share their gift with us, and we are so grateful for them. Know that it's not just Pastor Black that makes, or the Butterfields, who are so diligent to making sure that the blog talk is available to us, that we may come together week after week. We thank God for Archbishop Ruth Smith, who is a spiritual covering for all of us, for the light of the world. And we're truly grateful to God for what he is doing in her life as she continues to do a great work for the kingdom of God. We truly want to thank God for each of the men and women that preach for us here on the broadcast. We thank God for Sherelle Pennington. I've got too much going on in my brain right now, and I don't want to miss out on saying what I need to say about Pastor Sherelle. Today is her birthday, and we are truly thankful to God that he has blessed her to see another year, and we are excited about what God has in store for her. So on behalf of the Light of Portland family, Pastor Sherelle, we say happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May God bless and keep you. Happy birthday to you. So it's truly an honor to serve with the woman of God, and we appreciate her friendship and her sisterhood that we share. We also want to thank God for Pastor Pamela Laws, for Elder Kathy Miniweather, Elder Dante Farmer, Elder Demetrius Devers, Elder Bruce Mitchell, Elder Catherine Brown, Elder Katie Copeland, Pastor Regina Zachary, Pastor J.W. Friday, Minister Keith Jordan, Lady Beth Schreiber. Those are some of the men and women that preach to us week after week, month after month. And we thank God for them and the gift that they have added to the body of Christ. We are so grateful. We do have some announcements we would like to share with you. And hope and pray that you would govern yourself accordingly and that you try to make it out to some of these things, because everything that I'm getting ready to talk about is free. And if you miss out on the opportunity, you miss out on something great. In Portland, Oregon, the Faith Bridge Healing Center, which is located at 18 Northeast Killingsworth Street, they will be sponsoring for the summer a faith healing series. And I had the opportunity to go on Friday night. These are every Friday night at 6 o'clock p.m. This is for Black and Brown women. It's a safe place for women to come to discuss and talk about and share on the assigned subject. And so last Friday, it was centering joy in your faith practice. Walking in faith doesn't have to be taxing. How can joy become an anchor for your soul? And Pastor Valerie Pierce really brought forth a wonderful presentation to help us learn how to center our joy and to help us to remember and to understand that our joy does not come from other people or other things. Our joy comes from our intimate relationship with God. And so such a powerful lesson. And then the fellowship and the networking of women that were there, amazing. So this Friday night, July 16th at 6 o'clock p.m., Mary Morton, who is the executive life coach strategist, her topic is expecting abundance. Think abundance. It says, we've been making do long enough. How do you learn to expect abundant life? And so that's going to be on the 16th. And then on the 23rd at 6 o'clock p.m., Jonica Shelton, who is a CSWA. She is a licensed and certified therapist. She will be talking about riding the wave of grief and loss. She says grief often feels like a tsunami. Are there healthy ways to manage the waves? That's going to be July 23rd. And then the final series in this faith healing will be on July 30th at 6 p.m. Paula DePasse Dennis, she will be talking about, and she is, this is her vocation. This is her job that she does Monday through Friday, surviving race and microaggressions. How can we shake off the weight of the daily trauma of being women in brown skin? And she's going to be sharing, all of these women are believers, women of God that do these things as a profession. They get paid to do these things. And my sisters, we get the privilege to sit at their feet as we hear them share to help us be holistically better. Amen. So I want to encourage you, that's every Friday night at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Faith Bridge Healing Center, 18 Northeast Killingsworth, Portland, Oregon, every Friday night in July at 6 o'clock p.m. Also want to invite you to a worship impact conference. Now, this is going to be in Seattle, Washington. This is hosted by our very own Elder Demetrius Devers. This is next Friday, July 15th, 16th, and 17th. We know that some of the guests will be the McDuffies from Portland, Oregon. We want to encourage you, if you can, make it to Seattle. To be in for this impact conference Friday night, there will be a night of worship and the word. And then on Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, they have breakout sessions talking about ministry and music. And so all of the classes will deal with church ministry of music. This is their focus, the ministry of music. And so there are breakout sessions from 9 to 1, 6 o'clock p.m. There will be an impact night of worship and praise. And then Sunday morning at 10:45 will be the closeout of the impact service. So I want to invite you to join Elder Devers in this celebration. I'm just looking forward to a high time in the Lord. Also want to share with you that on next Sunday, on July 17th from noon to 5 at 3113 North Lombard Street in Portland, Oregon, there will be Styles of My presents Thrifting with Friends, pre-loved sales. This is a shop pre-loved. All items are $25 and under. And this is going to be next Sunday, July 17th, from noon to 5 at 3113 North Lombard Street. Well, hope and pray that you find time to engage in some of these announcements that we are sharing with you, because this is a way for us to get out into the community to see and to fellowship and to share with others. Also want to invite you to the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church on Sunday, July 31st from 11:30 to 1 as we worship out of the box. This is our time that we share with the community. I shared with the church family this morning that a church without a community and a community without a church is unacceptable. And so for the last several years, as long as I can remember, we have always been doing something to impact the community with the kingdom. The Bible says, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was sick, you didn't come and visit me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was incarcerated, and you didn't visit me. And the disciples were saying, well, Jesus, when did we see you homeless? When did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you in prison? His reply to them was, you didn't do it to your brothers and your sisters, therefore you didn't do it unto me. And so we don't want to be guilty of not taking care of the community. The Bible tells us the poor we will have with us always. And so we ask that you would pray with us and join us on July 31st. We are opening, we will be in our yard. We will be serving food and giving away cleaning supplies and COVID supplies to the community. So if you're out and about on the 31st of July between 11 and 11:30, which is our normal worship time, we will be worshiping outside. We're going to have a DJ. We're going to have games for the kids. Going to have some face painting. Just going to have fun in the yard. That is how we worship out of the box. And so I really want to invite you to come and worship with us. My other exciting news about Greater St. Stephen's is that we will be celebrating our 38th church anniversary. Woo-hoo! Oh, my goodness. What a joy, what a joy, what a joy. We are looking forward to having a good time in the Lord. We believe in having fun. Just because we gave our lives to the Lord does not mean we cannot have fun. And so I want to invite you, the Greater St. Stephen's Church family will be boarding the Portland Spirit on August the 20th at 12:45 a.m. for a two-hour cruise up the Willamette River. And this is a church anniversary luncheon. Tickets are $50. So pull out your summer brim hat, your cool outfit that you would go sailing in, and come and enjoy the Lord with us. Again, we're going to have live music. We're going to be having fun with the church family. I want to say that it is my birthday that day, and I'm thinking every day to just include a little bit of more of me in this celebration, because we want to have fun. And so if anybody knows me, you all know that I'm kind of competitive. I like to play a phase 10. I like to play dominoes. I like to play spades. Like to play Big Whiz. So maybe after we eat, who knows what might take place on that Portland Spirit. Who Who knows? But I'm telling you, we're going to have a Holy Ghost good time in the Lord. Amen. So I want to invite you, if you're interested and you would like to celebrate with us our church anniversary, pastor's birthday, we want to invite you to join us. Tickets for the luncheon are $50, and you can purchase your ticket. You can reach us by going to gssmbc@yahoo.com. Put in your request for tickets. We will be finalizing our menu. So later on next week, I'll talk a little bit more about our menu. But I just want to put the word out there because it's been a long time since the Saints have been able to get together and do something fun, do something other than be in the church house. Amen. And so we want to have fun. We want to enjoy each other. But most of all, we want to celebrate God for giving the church family 38 years. Amen. Those are our announcements. Please govern yourselves accordingly. Again, if you want to reach out to Greater St. Stephen's, you can go to email us at gssmbc@yahoo.com or go to our Facebook, The Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church. You can always reach out to us through Cash App, and you can send your $50 to Cash App and say, I want a ticket for the banquet, for the luncheon, and I'll make sure you get it. Our Cash App is $GSSMBCPDX. That's all it is, GSSMBCPDX. And we will get you your luncheon ticket. Those luncheon tickets are $50. And we only have the capacity for 50 people. So, hey, I've already got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I already have 8 people. So don't miss out. Don't miss out. I guess you're saying, I got plenty of time. You know how it is. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait till the last minute. Because if this is something that you want to do, we want to encourage you to join us for this celebration. Amen. We're going to hear a song of worship, and then we're going to have a word of prayer, a song of worship, and then we will hear from the word of the Lord on tonight. I hope you're excited about the word on tonight. I hope you, and I love it that people were on the call before I even got here. I'm excited about that. That means you came hungry for the word tonight. You came expecting a word tonight. You don't care who's bringing it. That's not your concern. Your concern was, I need a word from the Lord on tonight. And so I'm so grateful that you showed up to worship with us on tonight. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, we honor you, we appreciate you, and we magnify your holy name. We lift you up and we exalt you. Lord, you are good. Your mercy is everlasting, and your truth endureth unto all generation. Our soul makes a boast in you, O Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. We will magnify and exalt you, for you, Father God, are our Savior. You are our Creator. You are our Redeemer. You are the keeper of our soul, and we love you, Father, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. We love you, Jesus. We adore you, and we bless your name. And Lord God, we call it good, just like you called it good. We call it good. We might not be feeling our best. We might not have the money that we think we need. We might not have those relationships that we think we should have. We might not even see things working together for our good. But God, we call it good because you know the thoughts that you think towards us. Those plans are yours. And so, Father, we commit our way to you. And you said when we commit our works to you, you'll bless our hands. And so, Lord, we commit our lives to you, that you may bless our hands, that you may bless our lives, that we may live in abundance of the overflow of your presence, of your joy and your peace. Oh, God, we bless you today, and we thank you. We count it an honor. We count it a privilege to be able to come before your presence. Lord, tonight we pray for the grieving families all over this land. We know that there are families grieving loved ones who are no longer here today. Lord, there's families in Russia and Ukraine. There's families in Chicago and Louisiana and Texas and California and New York. who Detroit, who have died because of senseless violence. God, touch those families tonight. Strengthen their hearts tonight. Encourage them tonight, Lord. Lift up their hung down heads, Father. Help them, Lord, to overcome the grief. Not overcome it, Lord, but help them to walk through it. Because let truth be known, we don't get over the loved one no longer being here with us. I don't care how long it has been. Help us walk through this grief with joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Give us the strength, give us the courage to trust you. Bless those that are sick today. We know that there are quite a few that are dealing with infirmities in their bodies. Have quite a few of our family that are on transplant list. Have quite a few members of our community who are waiting to hear reports from the doctor because the doctors have done tests and they're waiting to hear back. Is it cancer? Is it lupus? Is it diabetes? But Father, tonight we pray the prayer of faith over everyone that's waiting for a doctor's report. I declare and decree that your people will believe the report of the Lord. For your word tells us that it's by your stripes we are healed. And Father, I must remind us that all sickness is not unto death. That our afflictions, Father, have come upon us that we may trust you and praise you and worship you and love you even the more. Our afflictions have come upon our bodies that we may be a testament and a testimony that God is still a healer. God is still a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So, Father, we're not begging you to do anything. We're being persistent with our prayer. Heal, Lord, the people. Heal your people. Heal us from all sickness. Heal us from all infirmities. Heal us from all diseases. Whether it's a mental thing, a physical thing, a health issue, or a spiritual issue, we ask that you would heal us tonight. Touch us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Increase our faith that we may give you the glory and honor because we know you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine. Thank you for healing us tonight, Father. Thank you for touching us. Thank you for making the crooked places straight. Thank you, God, for making our hind feet be able to grasp the side of the mountain as we climb up the mountain, trying to reach the top so that we can get closer to our God. Oh, God, we thank you. We bless you. We give you all praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God.
Yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair. I'm a vessel full of power with a treasure.
some painful circumstances that my poor soul could not flee.
Amen. For the next few moments, I would like to call your attention to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 7 through 10. Father God, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. Bless your word on tonight, Father. May it speak life. May it speak hope. May it give us courage. May it give us direction. And may it do what it was purposed to do, to cause your people to live a life of obedience and to live in a life with expectation of the future that you have in store for us. It may not look good right now, but in the end, you win. And because we are your people, your children, we are the born again. We are the called out ones. We too shall win. And so, Father, we bless you now. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just for a few moments, I would like to call your attention to the book of Revelation. We know if you are a member of the Greater St. Stephen's Missionary Baptist Church, you know that this is where we are studying. We have been studying this book for the last couple of weeks. And the purpose of this study is to help us gain a good understanding of what's expected for the believers and what we can expect. What we have learned that this book was written by John, who was the half-brother of Jesus. And he writes what the Spirit tells him to write, and he writes what the Spirit has allowed him to see with his spiritual eye. And he writes seven letters to seven churches. And tonight, I want to talk to the church, because so many people have got it twisted. They've got it confused about church. They think that when we talk about church, they think that we're talking about a denomination or a congregation of people. I want to help set the record straight that you, the individual, me as an individual, I am the church. Pastor Black, how does that make sense? Well, let me tell you the definition in the Greek. The word church is ecclesia. It is a Greek word, and it means the called out ones. And so when we find this word in the Bible, it's talking about people who have dedicated themselves to the Lord. So a group of people who have dedicated themselves to the Lord are being obedient to what is found in Hebrews, where it says to gather together with the saints and don't forsake the assembly of the saints. But when you leave that place that you have assembled, you have to leave out ready to serve. You enter in the building as a church for worship. And you exit out of the building as a church to serve. So the church is not where we gather. The church is who gathers within the building. Oh, come on, somebody. The church is who gathers within the building. And so tonight, I just want to talk to us tonight and reflect on what the Spirit of the Lord said to John regarding the Church of Philadelphia. Now, you know that the Philadelphia, we all call it the state of brotherly love. You know that's where people, they just love each other and they just get along. But this church here, let's look at this church here in Acts. It says, verse 7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. Jesus, Holy Spirit, Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were talking to John and they were telling John what to write. And it said, write these words. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Verse 10 says, I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Verse 10 says, since you have kept my command and endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Now, I need to make a correction, because this morning at church, I said the church of Thyatira. It was the church of Philadelphia that I was referring to this morning, that we're going to look at just for a few moments. I want to go back to this verse to talk about the key of David. The key of David represents Christ's authority to open the door of invitation into his future kingdom. He says, I'm the only one that can open it, and I am the only one that can close it. So what are we hearing here? What is Christ saying to us? The only way that we are going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God and experience eternal life is through Jesus Christ. And the only way you can get to Jesus Christ is by salvation. You must confess, we must confess with our mouth, we must believe in our heart that God gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for the remission of our sins. Saints, that is the gospel within itself. Nothing else. If somebody wants to tell you that something else is the gospel, if they have not told you about the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, that's not the gospel. But here we find in verse 7 that Jesus is telling us, the writer is telling us, John is telling us that the only way we are going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God through that door that no man can open and no man can close but Jesus is by salvation. We are living in the last days. We are living in a time now that people, I shared this a couple of weeks ago. I have a classmate that wrote a comment about he's wondering how the atheists are doing during these last and evil days with this pandemic, with this war, with the uprise of violence, with the high prices of gas and the high prices of food and no formula for babies and life is not as easy or comfortable as it used to be. His question was, I wonder how are the atheists doing without God? Had another classmate reply and said, we're doing just fine. Saints of God, these are the last days. And God is real. He is real. Just like he was real yesterday, he's real today. He will be real tomorrow and forevermore. And we, the church, must be about our Father's business and letting this dying world know that the only way they're going to escape of what verse 10 is talking about. I'm going to get there in a minute. But verse 10 tells us that the whole world is going to experience a test. Don't let me get ahead of myself. Don't let me jump too far ahead of myself. Let me talk a little bit about the Church of Philadelphia. I gave us that salvation is the key. We must accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Church of Philadelphia, the Bible says they were a faithful church. They kept God's word and they did not deny him. We read that in verse 8. He's telling them, he says, I know your deeds. I saw you feed the hungry. I saw you clothe the naked. I saw you visit the sick. I saw you minister to those who were incarcerated. I saw you give to those that were houseless. I saw you pray for those that needed praying for. I saw you stand in the gap for those that needed somebody to stand in the gap. I saw you advocate for men and women and boys and girls. I saw your deeds. I see your work. He says, and I have placed before you an open door. The work that you do on your job, saints, the work that you do in your home must be done to give God glory and honor, must be done so that someone will come to know God through Jesus Christ. We got a work to do. We cannot just because we accepted the Lord as our Savior, we got baptized, we got filled with the Holy Ghost, now we think we can go and sit on the pew and twiddle our thumbs or sit on the front porch and crochet and knit and sip on some lemonade. We've got work to do. Young people don't know that it's important to have an intimate relationship with God because we won't talk about it. We make them come to church, but we don't talk to them about the importance of why you're here. We just expect it to be on the pastor to talk about it. But once the pastor has explained it, we need to go home and sit down at the dinner table and have conversation. When they go to sleep at night, we need to sit at their bedside and have conversation about the word of God. When they wake up in the morning, we ought to pause long enough to have intimate, wholehearted conversation about the God we love, the God we serve, and the God we trust. That's what the Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy. He said, write it down and put it up on the four posts of your door so that when you come in, you'll see it. When you go out, you'll see it. See what? The word of God, that you may live obediently to his word.
That's what we find here, the Church of Philadelphia, the individuals, the people that made up the church were faithful to keep God's word. They endured opposition from the world and resisted conforming to the evil trends of other people. Yeah, we got to stop this. You kill my dog, I kill your cat. We got to stop this because vengeance belongs to the Lord. People do us wrong. People don't love us. People reject us. People talk about us. People stab us in the back. People call us names. Well, boo, why not? They did it to Jesus. We are his disciples. And what they did to him, they're going to do to us. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting him. And so the Bible says we must continue in the faith. We must continue this race, not just so that we will make it in, but our brothers and our sisters and our children and our neighbors and our coworkers, they too will have the opportunity to say, I had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I denied him. I rejected him. My coworker told me about him. My supervisor told me about him. My girlfriend told me about him. My wife told me about him. My husband told me about him. That's what we are here to do, saints of God. Tell the message. God delivered us. You see, he says, we don't conform to the trends of others. When things get rough, the body of Christ, the church, must know how to fall on their knees, humble themselves, and pray. Seek God's face and turn from his. When things get rough, David said, when affliction came upon me, I learned then how to trust you. We cannot conform to the evil trends of others, but we must be loyal to Christ. We must be loyal to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to persevere faithfully. We ain't seen nothing yet. We think we're going through right now, but we ain't seen nothing yet. Are you going to be able to hold on, old soldier? Are you going to be able to be steadfast to endure what verse 10 is talking about? The hour of trial is coming. Look at here, verse 10. And this is, I'm going to be done. I hope you go back and read this because the Bible says that chapter 1 of Revelation, I want you to hear this. It says, blessed is the one who reads the word of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near. Don't let this just be something you read, but I pray that you read it with understanding. I pray that you read it with the Holy Spirit talking to you so that we can apply this word to our lives so that in the end we will win. Christ promised to keep the faithful in Philadelphia. He promised to keep the faithful in Portland, in Texas, in Washington, in Georgia, in Arkansas, in Louisiana, in Nevada, in Denver. He promised to keep the faithful, those who are gathering together with the saints, but those who are faithful to keeping his word. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. Thou shalt do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The faithful ones. Who remember to rejoice in the Lord always, who remember that man should not faint but pray, who remember that the race is not given to the swift, but to he that endureth to the end. He's the faithful one who will live like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He promised the faithful ones that when trials and tribulations come, When the appointed, divine appointed time of trials, wrath, and distress comes on the whole earth, He will protect the faithful. God is going to bring his wrath on the world because we have messed up his creation, and he's going to hold us accountable. You need to be on the winning side tonight. We need to be on the winning side tonight. That side is the faithful. That side, they're the ones who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who have endured persecution and hardship as a good soldier, who have withstand the tests and the trials and tribulations that have come upon them. They made up in their heart, in their mind, that I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, with all of my soul, and I'm going to lean not into my own understanding, but in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to give him the praise. I'm going to give him the glory. I'm going to give him the honor. Satan is busy now, but when trouble comes on the whole world, his busyness is going to be 10 times the busyness we see right now. I ain't saying this to scare us. I'm saying this so that we can decide right now, as the old folks used to say, church ain't what it used to be. The preacher don't preach like he used to. The usher don't usher like they used to. The deacon don't deacon like he used to. The Sunday school teacher don't teach like they used to. The mothers don't pray like they used to. The people don't serve like they used to. Let's get our house in order. Get right, church, and let's go home. We're going to experience a time of tribulation. There's going to be hunger. There's going to be famine. There's going to be thirst. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be tears. But the faithful, my Bible says that they will be overcomers. Yeah, I hear the scripture saying that in the last days, when Gabriel blows the trumpet and the heavens open up, God has one foot on earth and one foot in heaven. And that trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall be the first to rise. And those that are left behind will be caught up to meet him in the middle of the air. I don't know about you tonight, church, but I want to be caught up to meet him in the middle of the air. I don't want to be left behind to experience the wrath of God and the total release of Satan. God's got a hold on him right now. He's holding him back. He's holding the reins. But a day and a time is going to come. He's going to let him loose. Will the church be ready to be raptured up? Will we truly be ready to be overcomers? Believers, we have hope today that we can escape all of those things that are coming to the world. Only the faithful to Jesus Christ and his word will be able to escape what's coming. So Pastor Black, how do I get on this list to be faithful? Well, must develop and maintain a personal, intimate relationship with God. We must pray. We must fast. We must study his word. We must apply his word to our lives, and we must do what his word teaches us to do, not grudgingly, but with a cheerful heart. We must expect God to bless us as we walk in obedience to his word. My brothers and sisters, I pray tonight that you've been blessed by the word. I pray tonight that you would elevate your faith and that you would spend more time building your intimate relationship with God. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. We're gonna start and stop, start and stop. But if we pray and seek God's guidance and God's help, we'll be able to run this race with patience and at a steady pace. We won't get so tired. We won't get so burnt out because we'll have him helping us. We'll have him leading us. We'll have him guiding us. I hope and pray that you've been blessed by the word on today. I pray that you would take the word of God and apply it to your life, that it may make you stronger. It may make you better. It may make you wiser. Until next Sunday, my brothers and sisters, may the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us hence, now, and forevermore. And what I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, pray, and live holy every day. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Until next Sunday, be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister. Amen and amen.
Thank you for it all, the good, bad, the ugly, great and small, the times of victory and when I fall. I'm so grateful that I'm still standing tall. I thank you for my tears, the pain helped me overcome my fears. You've been good to me down throughout the years. It's a miracle that I'm still standing here. All that I am is the God, all that you brought me through, and everything I survive, it's all
all that you brought me through. And everything I survived, it's all because of you. I'm grateful.